Hi everyone, I'm Liam and welcome to another episode of Exploring the NQS, a bonus series from the Early Education Show exclusively for our Patreon supporters. So if you're listening to this, that means you're supporting the main show, which means I want to start with a big thank you. The main show will always be free, but those of you who choose to actually support us financially really, really help us out. In Exploring the NQS, I take a look at one element of the National Quality Standard, one at a time, until I've covered all 40. My background is as an early childhood educator and teacher, centre director, and I currently oversee professional learning and development for Northside Community Service, a not-for-profit early education provider based in Canberra. This episode, I'm going to take an overall look at Quality Area 6, Collaborative Partnerships with Families and Communities, which we've just covered element by element. This is an opportunity to think about how all the standards and elements of Quality Area 6 work together, and how you can think about approaching quality improvement in this area as a whole. All right, so let's start with the big picture. So there's a few things we can think about here, and the Guide to the National Quality Framework, a really fabulous resource from ASEQA, gives us some sort of overview concepts, which I'm probably going to use as the starting point here. The first thing we want to think about is really about that term of family engagement. So Quality Area 6 is about families and communities, and there's kind of a bit of a split there in the two standards between engaging with families and engaging with communities. Really what one of the big things that the Quality Area 6 is telling us, that if we engage families in authentic and meaningful ways, then that's really supporting the active engagement of children in the service. We talked in a few of the elements when we talked about Quality Area 6, the difference between sort of access and participation. So children just having access to an early education service, just being there, just literally, you know, physically being in a classroom, isn't the same as getting the benefits from being in an early education space. And that's where the inclusion idea sort of comes in, which we'll be coming back to in a minute. We know that one of the first sort of barriers to full participation in the program is when the adults around them aren't working together. So the educators and the families, the educators and the parents, or the other significant people in a child's life. The children are far more likely to be engaged, they're far more likely to participate, and they're far more likely to benefit from access to early education when there's that authentic family engagement. What that looks like and how that works, I'm going to sort of talk about in the things to focus on section later on. But from a big picture sense, that's really what this is about. How can we work with the individual families to have that meaningful engagement so the children are able to participate? And that includes in how the service operates as well. So the Guide to the NQF calls this kind of service decisions. And that's often things about particular ways the service might operate, maybe different things the early education service can do to support children and families. But it is important to remember the balance, obviously, between what the service can and cannot offer and what families in the community may expect. That's always a really tricky balance, and there's no one answer to that. What I would suggest to services and leaders and educators who are working in the spaces is being really clear about your philosophy, being really clear about the values and practices that are important to you, and making sure those are communicated well to families, and then looking for those really meaningful and authentic ways of engaging families, so that we're not trying to tick the box and we don't sort of have a family feedback box in the front office, and we think, you know, that's family engagement. We know we need to go a bit deeper than that. The next thing to think about is that kind of idea of inclusive practice. So we're drilling into that idea of how we can support children who might require additional support to really engage with the program. The first thing to think about is obviously that all children at different points in time, just as adults, will have different needs. So every child coming to us, you know, we need to think of them as individuals, and what do they need to actively engage in the program. Some children will need less, some children will need more. Just because a child has a disability doesn't mean they'll have specific needs. And again, just because a child doesn't have a diagnosed disability doesn't mean they won't need things at a particular time. But the best thing to think about in terms of inclusion, particularly in a big picture sense in Quality Area 6, is we really want to think about how we're removing barriers to access. And we should think about that for all children, not just children with disabilities, but children who may be experiencing other kind of vulnerabilities, who may have experienced trauma in their life, or who may be dealing with short-term trauma, like a child, parent or a family member who's unwell, and that changes how the child sort of engages at home and engages with the service as well. So identifying the barriers is obviously a really important first step, and then thinking about how we can remove them. So and promoting that idea of well-being, that children, we want children to have good lives in our services. Doesn't mean that children never upset, doesn't mean that children never experience challenge and difficulty. We talked about this a lot in Quality Area 5, but it is about saying that there are in some cases structural, in some cases physical, in some cases emotional barriers that might prevent particular children from accessing the service. And we want to think about, as a team, how can we try and identify and then remove those barriers. Critical reflection plays a big part in this as well, and we'll be talking about that in the last segment of this episode in terms of the exceeding themes, is really drilling down and going, you know, what are the things that might be stopping us? And the challenge might be, some of them might be there are our own attitudes, some of them might be practices we've embedded in our service for a really long period of time and we haven't thought about. And this is where inclusive practice is really important, because it encourages us to reflect as professionals and go, you know, what could we do that would encourage more children or support more children to engage in the service? That's a really important part of the big picture of Quality Area 6. The next thing to think about is how engagement with the community can really help services to get to know the child and the context they're in. We know that children are you know, part of a family and then part of a broader context of that community. We spent a lot of time talking about this in the last two elements of exploring in Quality Area 6. Again, that meaningful and authentic engagement with the community means we can be really looking at the child from a holistic sense. So holistic approaches are one of the principles of the early years learning framework. And being holistic means, you know, really thinking from a broad sense about this child, where they sit, where they exist in the context of their family and their community. And also, this was a point I really tried to get across in a lot of the elements. I think we sometimes reduce Quality Area 6 to bringing the community in. So, you know, we'll have a visit from a you know, a dental nurse, or we'll have a visit from the local firefighters, or those kind of things. For any listeners in the ACT, you'll be familiar with Kenny Koala, and, you know, sort of bringing that in. And that's there's nothing wrong with that. That's great. But I think we sometimes reduce it to, you know, our centre sort of being there, and we bring the community in. And engagement should be, you know, meaningful and deliberate, but it should be both ways as well. And we should be thinking about, how can we support the child to develop their own sense of identity in that community? What can the child contribute to the community? This is something I think about a lot, because that sort of ticks both boxes. Not that we should just be ticking boxes. I feel like I've said that a lot in this series, but I'm now saying it now. But it sort of does two things. One is it's about flipping that on the head, about bringing the community into the service and really thinking about, how can the service and the children who are engaged in that space actually go out to the community or contribute to the community and be participants in the community. So really important. But the second thing it does is it's really about building the sense of identity for a child, so that the child has a sense of who they are in relation to the people and places around them. And that's a huge part of a sense of identity. We often think of sense of identity as being this internal thing, and it is, but it's impacted and affected by so much beyond the individual child, and then even beyond their individual family and the social networks they engage in. So that's, you know, that to me is a really important part of it. And, you know, there might be things like community projects around sustainability and planting trees and those kind of things, which you might be able to access. There might be particular you know, playground spaces or something that are in desperate need of an upgrade, and children can get involved in advocating for that. There'll be things in your community that are meaningful for children. So we're not doing things because we want to meet Quality Area 6. We're doing things because children care, and children can be involved, and children can make a commitment to participate in those things. You know, that's where the really amazing work, I think, in Quality Area 6 can take place. And then the other thing in terms of thinking about Quality Area 6 is really about supporting children to then, you know, respect and value diversity. Because the, you know, our communities are diverse. We're really fortunate in Australia to live in a multicultural community, in a society where, you know, we have, you know, people of all different backgrounds, you know, living and working and being alongside us. And it can sometimes feel like a challenging time to be thinking about these things when, you know, that's often not seen as a strength in Australia, which is really sad. I, you know, very rarely do I get personal, but, you know, I'm so grateful for having spent the last 15 or more years working in the early education sector, I've met people from countries and backgrounds and beliefs that I would never have otherwise met, particularly as someone with a very privileged upbringing. I'm so grateful that that's been part of my experience in the sector. We need to celebrate and acknowledge that. So supporting children to engage with that kind of diversity is really important. And I think that has to start with, you know, really embracing and acknowledging and embedding Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander perspectives. You know, that's the first call, I think, for those of us because of the land we're all on, which is all Aboriginal land. We need to, you know, that's a really positive thing we can do for children is to support and embrace that that idea of diversity and being positive. And we can do that through how we construct our policies, our practices, our philosophies, but being intentional about our teaching around engaging with communities and yes, bringing communities in and going out to communities to really embed that work of, you know, hopefully raising the next generation to be a little kinder than we sometimes see the current crop of politicians or even people in the community out that we see. All right, in this next section of the overview episodes, I like to sort of do three things to focus on. So this isn't about the three things you need to do to meet Quality Area 6. Every service is unique and different, and every services community is unique and different. So you'll need to really think about what works for you and your team. But for me, the three things to think about as a starting point, maybe in a staff meeting or a meeting with your team, is we know children learn best when the adults, families and educators around them work together. So then it's thinking about how can we do that in practice and what are multiple ways we can bring those people together. So it's going beyond those ideas I think we sometimes get stuck in, which is, you know, having, you know, a working bee once a year or, you know, having a family feedback box or those kind of things, or putting family comment on our documentation. Those ideas are really embedded in the sector. I think we need to think beyond them. What's a way we can really reach our families in meaningful, engaging ways that they want to contribute? There's lots of different ideas, and you know, there's people out there far smarter than me who'd be able to come up with some other ones. But even things like, you know, really short surveys that can be done really quickly online, where you can get information from families and what they think about family information nights, more regular things like morning teas. I worked in a fabulous service that did this rotating morning tea every week in each of the classrooms. It was a large centre and had six classrooms, but every week there'd be a small morning tea in one of the classrooms, so that, you know, every 6 weeks one of the classrooms would have this opportunity for parents and families to come in and engage with the classroom, and that was really meaningful and supportive for the team. So really thinking about, with the community we have here, not general approaches, with the community we have, how else can we reach them, how else can we engage? The next thing to focus on for me would be really navigating that balance between the approach of the service and the different and diverse family values and approaches to children and childhoods that you will experience out there. How do you balance that? How do you make sure you're standing up for what you believe in and around child-centered practice, children's rights, and also operational requirements? We can't do everything for families all the time. Educators and directors are really busy, busy people. So how can we balance that approach where we are acknowledging and supporting and listening to family approaches, but where they don't align with what we do? How do we go about that? And really, that's about, you know, open and respectful communication, where families feel okay to raise particular issues, and they're not responded to in a defensive way or a challenging way. But, you know, the team actually listen, and we engage, and we say, look, it may come to the point that we can't do a particular approach, but at least everyone feels heard. So that open and respectful communication. But, you know, for directors and people out there listening, really being clear about what you stand for and being proud of what you stand for. And it may be that, you know, not every centre is right for every family and every child. And that can be challenging in a market model where we think we just have to keep chasing higher and higher occupancy. But really saying that to families, and that means we have to be clear right from the start, from induction, from enrollment, from the waiting list tour, is saying we do these things and they may not be right for you, but this is the way we approach them, and you need to make a choice about whether that's right or not for you. And then the last thing sort of thinking about in terms of things to focus on is just remembering that, you know, services and families aren't in isolation. We don't sort of exist as these different things that come together in this big white void or something. We're part of a broader community, both services and families, part of a broader community and a broader society. And that concept of inclusion really underpins, and that's what kind of glues all these things together, I think, where we want the idea that, you know, everyone in our community is welcome in their service. And that's a two-way conversation, as we've talked about before. But we really want to be identifying those barriers and working to remove them. And again, that's a process of how do we identify those barriers and how can we work on them. All right, I'm going a bit over this week. That's all right, I like talking quality area six. I'm going to have a really quick run through the exceeding themes. So these were the exceeding themes introduced by CEQA as part of the review of the National Quality Framework in 2018. And their sort of guidance, the three themes sort of help services work towards an exceeding rating in particular areas. So the first exceeding theme is practice is embedded in service operations. In relation to Quality Area 6, for me, this means that right from the start, from families calling up the centre and going, I want to go on the waiting list, we're really clear about the approach we take to particular things. And that's that idea of meaningful engagement. It might be if you engage in social justice perspectives. It might be if you provide a particular, maybe you know, a faith-based early education program, that we're really clear with families right from the start that this is the way we operate and what we do. And then from that point on, there's regular communication with families about how and why we do what we do. And that it really comes down to that idea of meaningful engagement, that it isn't this surface level interaction where if families seek it out, you know, there's a comment box they can fill in. We're really regularly engaging with families. The second one is practice is informed by critical reflection. You know, there's so much we can really critically reflect on in this area. One of the things I most often think about is when we're dealing with those, you know, challenging families, and I've sort of got challenging in quotation marks there, but when families are not happy or they're not happy with a particular approach to the way we do things, they can be really difficult times. And our instinct, I think, is to try and just resolve the situation and move on as quickly as possible. But critical reflection sort of encourages us to go, you know, how has this come up? Is there things we need to do differently? Or is this about us standing up for a particular approach? Again, in the market-based model, I think this is a real point of tension where there's a lot of pressure on services to, you know, get up to, you know, 80, 85%, 90, 95% occupancy. And that means there's a big pressure to sort of please families and make happy families. And I just don't agree with that. I think we should have an approach that we value in terms of children's rights and what we believe they should be expecting of. And if you have a really firm approach, by definition, there will be some that disagree. So that means by definition, there'll be families that don't fit the service or don't think the service is right for their child. That's, you know, disappointing and sad, but that's the byproduct of having a stand and believing in something. So critical reflection is a great way to engage with those things, identify them, note them, and then, you know, communicate them to families. And then the last exceeding theme is practice is shaped by meaningful engagement with families and or the community. So this is obviously perfect for Quality Area 6 and kind of almost defines itself. But really for me, the thing I'd be thinking about here is kind of what does meaningful mean for your families and community? You know, what does that actually mean for where you are, the street you're on, the suburb you're in, the town you're in, the city you're in, the block you're in, wherever you are? What is, you know, what's actually meaningful for your families and communities? How can children be actively involved? You know, this time of the year, as this episode's coming out in November, you know, we start thinking about end of year celebrations, and I often wonder how meaningful we make these for children. Are we doing just the standard you know, barbecue and maybe Santa appears and all these kind of things that we've done, you know, every year for the past 15 years? Are we doing graduation ceremonies that are adult, that are children's version of adult rituals? So the graduation cap and the diploma is an adult thing that we sort of put onto children because we think it may be cute. I wonder if there's a more meaningful way to do that. I've worked with some fabulous services that every year do an end of year celebration, which is about celebrating the achievements of children. At the centre every year, there is examples of children's artwork from throughout the year. There are videos of children engaging in learning. There is examples of children's meaning making and mark making and writing. And that to me is so much more meaningful as a celebration than doing, you know, what we've done for the last 15 years and doing something that is about an adult experience translated into a children's experience. This is a really small example, but that I think is about saying that's about meaningful engagement with things that are meaningful to children and their families. All right, I've been naughty with the episode. I've gone over. We're going to hit 20 minutes, but that's okay. I hope everyone's enjoyed it. I'll be taking a quick break next week just to prepare for Quality Area 7, which is our last quality area. We'll be done with this exploration through the NQS sooner than we know it. Thanks for everyone who's been listening along. Have a great week, and I'll see you in 2 weeks with the first element of Quality Area 7. And until then, it's goodbye from me.